probably not anything in the ACC this year with, I mean, you pretty much have one really good team on both sides of the ACC, and that's it.
Yep. Clemson and Miami.
Yeah, Florida State. And it's true.
That was so fast. Well done.
Yeah. Well, because I knew who you were talking about. It's obvious to everybody, Jason.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Everybody, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This here is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends about college football and lifestyle. You can find the Wheel Route at www.thewheelroute.com, at the Wheel Route on Twitter, wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com, and you can download the show from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher. And new to the game, thanks to our social media correspondent, you can find us on Instagram at Wheel Route Podcast. So, check us out. Got some good content from the quad.
We have a new social media intern.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's contractually obligated to the squad, but she takes good pictures, and she was a champ this weekend. So, I'm Logan Whitehouse, coming to you from Stuart, Florida. Find me on Twitter at LogwanTheDon. I'm feeling rejuvenated. My Gators are back. I'm ready to get reckless on this podcast. It's LSU week.
My name is Jordan Shank. I'm in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I'm on Twitter at ShankJordan. And the Hoos just finished their third straight week without a loss. So, Woo! Suck it, haters.
16 TDs on the year. 17 TDs on the year.
Don't shortchange Kurt Benkert and his sweet magic.
I'm Jason Kreck. I post things on Twitter at Jason Kreck. Looking forward to JMU's bye week. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be truthful with you here. I'm looking forward to JMU's bye week.
Wow, a rare, truthful introduction out of Jason.
I don't feel myself. Something's off.
Just didn't put Danny Rocco under the ground like you wanted to,
no,
Jason.
No, I'm not happy about that.
A little salty, eh?
I'm not happy about it. We didn't publicly embarrass him.
You know, Danny Rocco knows how to coach a squad, Jason. You guys might want to take a look at him when old Mike Houston makes the run down 81 to Blacksburg.
Don't even joke about that. Like, several parts of that sentence, don't joke about it.
Okay, what are you guys drinking?
I have a full Nelson Virginia Pale Ale from Blue Mountain Brewery.
It's a good one.
I also went Nelson County. Vienna Lager from Devil's Backbone. And I'd like to give Jordan credit, because a few weeks ago when I said that the beer roster at the local Sheets was deep, he said it was not deep, it was just weird. And he's correct, because I've drank all of them on various podcasts already. So we're hitting repeats.
Been around the horn. Well, that's a good one. Classic. Guys, I'm drinking water tonight. I drank enough for the podcast this weekend, so just I ask that you respect my privacy during this time, right? And you know, just your thoughts and prayers with my family are accepted.
Logan Whitehouse is currently battling exhaustion.
Yep. nothing like a good dihydrogen monoxide to get those pee levels back to championship caliber.
Exactly. I'm diving towards 7. It's the drive towards 7 on the P scale. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
your shading was pretty selfish over the weekend, is I guess what I'm saying.
Awaken the echoes, guys. I'll be back.
Do you think Tom Herman's DMs are open that we could send him samples via picture and ask him to grade our commitment to the podcast?
We should cut this, otherwise we're all going to have to make police statements, and that's not going to be good.
As long as we use a nice Instagram filter, and there's like you know, sepia tone butterfly urination. Dear Tom. All right, guys. I went to Alabama this weekend. It was a good time. Had a really good time. A lot of tailgating action happened. Neither Ole Miss nor Logan Whitehouse showed up to the football game, but hey, we still had a good time, enjoyed it. Shout out to
everyone left the state of Alabama. So
shout out to all my FIMU sisters. You know, here's to the days we'll never remember with the people we'll never forget. Right? So
only the best wear the crown
for life. So yeah, it was really fun. We had a good time. You know, nothing brings out like obnoxious fans like a winner. I remember going to some football games, some Florida football games.
He says immediately after saying Florida football's back.
Hey, that's what I said. That's how I told you. I'm back, guys. So, but yeah, I mean, it was really cool. They go fully out there. They have like a big quad situation that they kind of divvy up with tents and chairs and stuff, and I think you just get like assigned one of them. So that's kind of cool. You're not really tailgating in like a parking lot per se, so that's pretty neat. Tuscaloosa, not paradise, gonna be honest with you guys, but pretty cool setup that they got down there, and yeah, they're doing it right
so
now.
So it sounds like, you know, you get a Foxfield plot and then just kind of
exactly
just it's kind of fight.
Yeah, it was actually not unlike that at all, Jordan. Not unlike that at all. Down
you.
To
Did you start having like
to,
Vietnam,
you know,
flashbacks.
PTSD. No, well, I didn't get mushed by a girl, which was good.
Right.
So, you know, they can, you know,
step
you
in the right direction.
Work, right. Yeah, a lot of well-dressed young ladies around the quad.
Were there
times.
Were there any fights to report?
I don't think so.
Oh, what's even the point?
Yeah, everybody's just riding high on the tide right now, so.
Oh, we did see a fight in the Tennessee stands, but
we saw a fight in the Tennessee stands.
We can maybe talk about that
yeah.
later.
Things are going well in Knoxville, so. Anyhow, so yeah, that's that. Really good time in SEC country. You'd be proud of me, guys. I wore my Alabama fishing shirt like a real Southern. I was trying out something different.
Right.
Trying out something new.
Get the gills on the shirt and you breathe
yeah.
and you're mobile and fluid.
I was breathing. So yeah, fun times. I guess we have our first major coaching opening this season. Jordan, would you like to break the news on the podcast?
The University of Texas at El Paso, the Miners, I believe.
The Miners.
That's right.
They are in need of a young upstart coaching prospect after Sean Coogler resigned.
And they already
maybe
found
who,
one.
Maybe whose last name is also a city in Texas.
Rhymes with Trueston.
Bike Muston.
Maybe that would be. I will say.
I don't understand why you guys are doing
one
this.
One of the writers for SB Nation put out an article and floated like seven names who could have connections and. Our sweet prince Mike Houston was not on the list. There were a lot of a lot of BYU assistants and a lot of Utah assistants.
I've also heard like Tennessee's quarterbacks coach, which is hilarious to me. Mike Canales or something like that. But
okay.
I don't know what about Tennessee's quarterback situation this season is really engendering a lot of positive praise. But hey, get your money, Mike.
Right.
And we should note that's minors, like people who work in mines, not people who are under 18.
That's important.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Mike Price has been named the interim head coach for the time being. I don't think that's going to be a permanent thing. Mike Price is 71 years old, and this is like the ultimate Bill Snyder situation, I think. Except for Bill Snyder actually is and has been successful.
Yeah, maintained the job. He didn't unretire into it necessarily.
Ever since Mike Price's, like, what was it, like 3-week stint as Alabama head coach, things just really, really haven't gone so well for him.
He has stayed out of the news, to his credit.
Right, absolutely. So yeah, let's move on. Let's talk some games. This is the recap show. Jason, we teased it earlier. Tell us about the Dukes. It's our favorite segment, fan favorite.
You know, Dukes got the dub. Dukes went to Newark, played an abnormally tough Delaware team.
God.
That, in their defense, now this is, you ready? Gonna go communication on y'all. Delaware held Virginia Tech to like 87 yards rushing, and JMU still ran for like 250 yards rushing. So Delaware, pretty legit defense. They held Virginia Tech to 27 points. They're strong, and it was like 25 mile an hour winds or something like that. It was crazy. Mm. So sloppy game.
Those are the echoes, Jason, making some noise.
Is that what
the Blue Hens?
It's gonna prepare you for those blowing winds of Chattanooga.
Tell you what.
Mm-hmm. For like the 12th time in this
Joe
podcast,
Joe Flacco's ghost was.
We don't
the
play.
Plains
through
of,
the, we don't play.
The plains
in Chattanooga
of Frisco,
right.
The cold winds of northern Texas will be blowing through
true,
there, Jason.
True story.
That's why
it snowed the day before the national championship last year. So
I know it's because every time you're in Texas, it snows inexplicably, and you're just like, "What is this?"
Anyways, tough game. Not the route that people were hoping or expecting, but got the win. Going to the bye week 5-0. 17-game winning streak, the longest in Division I football.
Division I AA football.
Division I football.
Yeah. Division I AA, but it's okay.
It's okay.
It's a real Special Olympics situation. We get it. All right, UVA.
That's pretty strong
week.
Coming from. Speaking of UVA, that's pretty strong talk.
Speaking of UVA bye week, Jason, don't be sensitive.
Right.
This is a friendly podcast. Right. It's a lifestyle podcast. No game for the Hoos this weekend, so good times. Jordan, any updates? Are we all healthy? Ready to take on the Duke Blue Devils?
We are mostly healthy. Malcolm Cook is apparently in a cast. He will be out for the next 2 weeks. They were hoping to maybe have him back for the Duke game, but Joe Reed, the other player of note who missed the Boise State game, he'll be back against Coach Cutcliffe's charges. Got a real good. I was telling my dad yesterday, like, I'm kind of considering going to the Duke game, and it's like they've pulled me back in.
Sweet.
It's a 12:20 game, so you know,
we're just fans, baby. We're just fans.
Grab brunch on the corner, put a few moses down, and like the sports website, UVA is selling tickets for, they're selling end zone high upper level end zone tickets for $28, and you get an $8 concession stand voucher with it.
Whoa.
Which, hey, that'll get you a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Jason's on a bye this weekend. He might want to go make the drive.
Yeah, we can go do brunch, take over the Instagram account for a little bit, and
yeah. Speaking of which, remind me to get you guys the credentials. I seriously have no idea what the password is, and I don't think our social media intern does either. Okay. So we'll work on that.
We'll work it out.
Please log in on your phone.
Well, that's one warning for our social media intern.
If there's two-step verification, we're test. So
right. All right, very good. Well, we'll look forward to breaking that game down in painstaking detail on the podcast this week.
Yeah.
Hooray!
Get a nice 35-minute breakdown for you guys so you know which side to pick.
Right. So, guys, I thought it was going to be good for me to maybe do a little detox and not watch Florida Vandy, but they sucked me back in. I had the phone out at brunch. Was really, really getting it in. But the Gators covered. They covered a 10-point. They covered
great
10
teams
point,
cover.
Yeah, great teams
I've
covered.
I've been saying it for years.
Thanks. They did. Our poor sweet prince Luke Del Rio went down with yet another season-ending injury in the first half. Broken collarbone. He had surgery today, so he's done. So it's back to future of the program, Felipe Franks. He's still the same. It's going to be real interesting. They got LSU next week. Vanderbilt doesn't appear to be very good. I don't really know what the situation was that led them to getting... I think their defense was very highly rated from a statistical standpoint, but Florida was really able to run the ball like right down their throat the whole game, which is good news for Florida. They could use that given their situation. But Florida's defense looks really soft over the middle. Nobody wants to make a tackle from the safety position. The linebackers are getting a little turned around in coverage, so we'll see how that goes, but happy for the Gators to cover, and happy for it not to be a one-score game, so we don't have to talk about how great Jim McElwain is in one-score games.
But Jim McElwain tried his darndest to make it a one-score game.
Oh, no, you're right about that, and you're right about Florida got, like, the re-backdoor cover.
Jim McElwain was furious about it. Well, furious might be a little exaggerating, but this is the thing I don't get. Like, it's raining, it's only a one-score game. I don't understand why you want to risk your, like, sort of quasi-backup guy having to take more snaps in the rain
nothing
and risk, like, a
up,
fumble.
Nothing sums up Florida quarterbacking than pseudo-quasi-backup guy.
Yeah.
Pseudo-quasi-backup.
And neither of us have any. Oh, yeah. No, that's the right term. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. absolutely correct.
100% true.
Yeah, I understand the thinking behind falling to the ground after the conversion. I don't like it at all. Get the points. Like, regardless of which side I'm betting. Get the points.
Yeah, I mean, get the points. I mean, it's a one-score game, fumbles, like, but...
Spencer
yeah,
Hall
anyhow,
called,
I was
it,
I was...
called it middle management football coaching. Well, he's like, yeah. I just can't stand this brand of management. And yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. And, like, the whole, like, Jim McElwain has been just unbelievable in one-score games thing. It's, like, the silliest thing ever. They've had one-score games against Vanderbilt every time. They've had Kentucky. One-score games against FAU last year. I mean, like... This is not a, and when they lose, they get crushed. Like, you know, that's also the other thing. So he's never lost a one-score game. Therefore, he's never been close to a team that's beat him, which is not good. So here we are, firmly in the middle. Go Gators. We'll check in on them again this week, LSU week, as I said. Speaking of LSU, well, do we want to touch on the Bama Ole Miss score? It was 66-3. I don't think there was much to.
That is the thing. That is the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Alabama has scored 125 points in their last two games and allowed three.
Ole Miss is firmly on the apathy boat right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Just out here for the free gear and to get on film for the next level.
I'm here for the charter flights.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, Bama looks ridiculous. I mean, I guess they played a team that doesn't care and a team that's probably not that good, but
still.
To be honest, like, Alabama usually like throttles a team and beats them like 34-7, but they are like now throttling teams and beating the brakes off of them.
Well,
by,
and
like,
I think this one was unique. The past 2 weeks were unique in that like Vanderbilt was chirping a little bit. Maybe you could twist it that way. Nick Saban would definitely twist it that way.
But it was still on the road.
Right.
I mean, it was still at Vanderbilt.
And then Ole Miss, you know, there's some pent up aggression because Ole Miss has, you know, maybe allegedly had Saban's number past several years and like being able to keep it tight or just outright beating them. So I think Nick wanted to put the haters in their place a little bit.
He was manufacturing all kinds of lies.
You think Nick Saban's ever said the word haters? Like ever?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You think he has?
But he probably said it in like a, I don't want to hear about the haters.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
You know, I don't want you guys to use that word in my presence.
So I'll say, yeah. Has he ever like genuinely said the word haters in the context it's meant to be?
No, not aside from explaining what's in the team handbook and how to have
unless
to handle
he was
social
about
media.
To, yeah.
We will not tweet about these haters that you guys keep talking about.
Also, it has an S at the end, damn it.
Yeah.
I bet Marty Smith got him to say it before he pulled like a sick can opener off the top of his pontoon boat, like into the into the lake. Just like, watch me now, haters! Like all 5'3".
Miss Terry,
Saban,
tell all the haters about
contest.
This.
I think I would pay $1,000 to watch that.
Miss Terry. Oh man, good stuff. So yeah, Bama's good. I don't think we need to go into great detail about that. And their backup quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa.
Sure.
He from Hawaii. He is really good too, and that team doesn't miss a beat when he comes in, which is kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, so, he was the kid. Like once Willie Taggart got the Oregon job, one of his first things he did
was to get on
the plane to Hawaii and try and flip this to a kid. He did not.
Right.
The bag was bigger at Alabama.
Side note about Tua: did you guys see that Alabama message board where that guy posed a serious question asking if Tua there's a language barrier and like what are we doing for Tua? Does he have a have we talked about
this
on the podcast?
Simplifying the playbook?
We might have.
We probably did, but I think it deserves
bears mentioning again.
A revisit. Yeah.
The elephant in the room. He referred to it as the elephant in the room. Like, do we have a separate playbook for him? Because it seems like no.
Come on,
guys. All right, guys, here we go. Troy at LSU.
Troy won the weekend.
There.
Yeah.
Floated it out there.
Yeah.
And it happened. I was really excited about that. Coach Neil Brown, Troy got himself a big raise, probably.
Did you see how much they got paid for that game?
Like $975K,
yeah, like
right?
$980, $985.
Yeah.
That's big time. So, that's a big time check to come in and win.
Pay $1 million to catch an L at home
also,
like that on
Troy,
homecoming.
Troy's like official school
Twitter
account got off a fire sick bird.
Yeah, they did.
I'm gonna drop the mic on him.
So,
yeah, had some good official Twitter account activity this
there's
weekend.
There's like a junior
always.
In the communications program
who's
just
so
lost
happy.
Their internship job, but also
it's,
has
well,
no regrets.
It's still up there, so, I mean, they're
right.
just riding it. Yeah. I respect it.
Well, it's good for their brand, but, you know, he'll put it on his resume. It's
always.
Probably a deal they worked out, like, we'll keep the tweet up, you have to walk away, and he'll get
we'll
a job.
We'll leave $20K on the table, but you have to let us keep this up. And
he'll end up working like the Cheez-Its Twitter account right out of school. They're like, we got a job for you, man. We like that kind of spark.
You think he's ready for Cheez-Its already? He's not going to start at Ritz or something?
No.
All right.
I don't know. He seems like a Bugles guy. Could be a Bugles guy.
Strong. Long history of generating talent at Bugles.
Right. So, Jordan, what's up with LSU? They seem kind of...
Yeah,
I sort of roll my eyes at the soft. I roll my eyes at the soft moniker, but they seem a little soft. They're kind of getting pushed around.
They do.
It seems like teams are able to run on them. They seem like they're very sloppy, and they don't appear to be utilizing. I guess Geis has been hurt, right? Past
Geis
couple
has been
games.
Hurt.
So I mean, we could be fair about that
but
too.
They,
but their quarterback isn't very good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I guess like I go back to the Mississippi State game and wonder like how much. Mental damage and confidence damage that did as far as like,
sure.
Oh man, we just got skull drug by a team we're supposed to, we're supposed to take care of under normal circumstances. Like that can be a real identity questioner. And like, you know, Troy wasn't going to come in with any like doubt. Like you said it, we could see Troy was capable of beating them. And so, if you let a team like that hang around, like they got out to like, what, a 14-0, 17-0 lead at one point.
Yeah.
So a fast start, like that's a recipe for disaster. And I think we've mentioned this a little bit, like Matt Canada's offense is not designed to make huge chunk comebacks. Like it's a very methodical and can score consistently at a quicker pace, but it's not a do it all in one or two plays type system. So a 14-0 or 17-0 hole when you're at home to a non-power conference opponent can be cause for concern. So I think Coach O needs to do some mental massaging and get the boys' heads right. He's got a huge buyout, so he's not going anywhere.
It's like I wanted to point that $12 million buyout for Ed Orgeron, which I think the Fullcast guys brought up. Like, what kind of like who did he have leverage against
that's in a that John situation? Oliver
like,
contract.
What's actually the deal there? But anyhow, it would be very I think preemptive to talk about him getting fired, and I think they're still paying less a lot of money, aren't they?
Yep.
So they got like plenty of money out there unaccounted for.
Well, I wonder how much the buyout is like optics in terms of recruiting, and because if you're hiring a guy who's made his name as an all-time interim guy and you make him the full-time the schools in the SEC you're recruiting against, like the Bamas and the Ole Misses and Texas A&M's, they're not afraid to recruit against a guy and question his job security or anything like that. So that's certainly a commitment that you can say, like, this guy who's recruiting you, he's going to be here. So don't have any qualms about making a commitment here. But, yeah, they're in an interesting spot for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their schedule, it's not like it's going to get a whole lot easier down the stretch here. They got the meat of the SEC West still to go. I think sometimes we overvalue LSU, but I don't think you ever necessarily expect them to do worse than like an 8-4 year or a 7-5 year, like kind of out of nowhere. So they seem really limited, frankly, right now, which is surprising for LSU, especially on defense, actually. Yeah. They just don't look like they're that well coached on that side of the ball right now. So Florida this week, so nothing will be good for your offense like playing Florida's defense right now. So we'll see what happens, but that should be... I don't think LSU is going to black for emotions coming into that game, so it'll be interesting to see them up at Swamp. So, Craig, you got any LSU thoughts, or you good?
I don't think I saw any of that game, but it looked awesome, and I respect that the Troy head coach was basically, when he talked about press conference, was like, yeah, I mean, we didn't run any trick plays. We didn't, like, try to fool him or anything. We just came in and beat him.
I was like,
kudos, man.
Yeah, So Matt Canada's got some work ahead of him. He's got some work ahead of him. So does our boy Dave Aranda. Dave Aranda, kind of an interesting looking guy. You notice that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Look, got a great defensive coordinator look.
Yes, like, this is true.
It's not it's not an apathetic look. It's like it's an intense kind of fiery look. And that's what you want on that side of the ball. So
my new favorite phenomenon on Twitter is people finding the strength coach and pointing him out, like in the background of pictures, just like guy with tucked in athletic polo, just cock diesel.
Spencer Hall started it like last year, 2 years ago, just like the that's a strength coach. Like there's a look.
Do you guys see?
It was because someone got highlighted. I think it was was it Clemson's?
It was Alabama's, I think. That guy's crazy.
I thought it was the one who took the phone.
Alabama's. Yes. I think was that Scott Cochran that took the phone, like their head guy? Scott Cochran's like famous.
So.
He's crazy.
Right.
But yeah, that was funny. But then I think during the Clemson Tech game, it was like the assistant strength coach was a version of the get back coach, the guy in charge of holding on to Dabo's belt loop.
Oh, to Venables, I think.
Ben Venables BLT slapped him.
Someone like threw his hand off, and but then he got spotlighted afterwards.
Real fractured trust in that relationship. Yeah, but there was.
I'm really excited for Deuce Gruden to make an appearance on a 1A sideline here pretty soon.
The there was a clip of I'm assuming it was the strength coach at Northwestern, who. They showed like the guys getting off the bus at the tunnel of whatever stadium they were playing in this past weekend, and the guy had like cut the sleeves off of his polo shirt but still had it tucked in, and they're playing like EDM music, and he's just like chest bumping off of bros like let's go.
I can't imagine being that your job. You're like a 42-year-old man, right, and you just have to just while out at all times. So
he's got access to pre-workout, so he's not lacking energy.
He's dry scooping it too, I bet. Just going straight in the mouth. He doesn't even need any water. All right, Mississippi State at Auburn. Auburn really put it on Mississippi State. I didn't watch any at all of this, but what was it, like 45-7 or something like that? Am I lying to you guys?
No.
It seemed like it was a little bit out of hand. So, yeah, Mississippi State. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The best team in the country not named Bama is on a two-game skid, and they lost to Auburn, who all of a sudden looks like they can run the football again.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those weird, like, okay, we really overvalued LSU going into that Mississippi State game because we really overvalued Mississippi State's win. Yep. And we're probably really...
And then Mississippi State goes on the road twice and loses both games.
Right. We're probably overvaluing Auburn's performance to a degree in the Mississippi State game. So
it's a case of all those teams being fine instead of good, so it makes all that stuff look...
Right. So
The SEC in a nutshell, Jason.
That's true.
Everyone is fine. No one is good except for Alabama.
This is fine.
Georgia is trying to be good, but we'll see. The jury's still out on them because I saw Georgia lose to Treon Harris twice in a row. So
that was a different Georgia.
Never trust. We're fixing to find
out.
Did
Treon ever beat Kirby?
They lost to Austin Appleby last year. Okay, sorry. Austin Appleby beat Georgia last year.
Okay.
Better. All right.
Why not?
You know.
Sure.
Danny Etling ain't walking through that door.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Kirby didn't play Grayson Lambert in that Florida game, if I recall.
If anybody would recall, it'd be you. Be the only one that would recall that.
Yeah. Smart right. Money says he did not play.
Okie State, Texas Tech. You guys watch any of this?
I saw like Okie State do enough to score the go-ahead touchdown. I think Mason Rudolph got it on a run. It was a nice little read option he ran. I did see that and pulled the ball at the right time. So that was neat. I always love like
very Big 12.
watching a game and watching the quarterback who's not a running threat continually run the fake read option. Like, this isn't a read option. This isn't a read option. And then at the most like critical point in the game, just pulls it, you know,
like
and,
lops off like 7 yards in
like
12
the Peyton
seconds.
Manning naked bootleg.
Yeah, the naked bootleg with
just
Peyton
like
Manning.
The work of arts into the.
It's just like it's a lesson in angles. Like right. Who could get there to that corner first?
Yeah. Is Texas Love Tech it. Good at football?
I'm telling you guys, they have awoken the echoes and they're playing some defense.
Cliff's
they got that boy from Last Chance
to
U.
To keep the job. So congrats
that
to
might
Cliff.
Be, that might be a 7-8 win team right
we'll,
there in
we'll
Lubbock.
Call it now. I think Cliff was kind of on our warm seat coming into the season.
Sure.
Oh, for sure.
He had to be.
But I think he's fine right now. He should be smiling, putting on the hater blockers at night. And
He's no Barry Odom.
Right. He's going to wait for that JMU job to open up before he makes a move.
Right. Butch Jones... did it again. This game was on all of the TVs at all the tailgates, people with their fancy sweet
awesome.
Tailgate setup.
There's so much shine.
We were just watching that, just lolling. But, Georgia did it to Tennessee. 41-0. It was out of hand pretty quickly from what I could tell. It was like 24-0 pretty early on. So, yeah. Jason. Give us your thoughts. How Butch Jones, you think he's going to make it through the end of the year?
I mean, if anything like this happens again, no, it can't. I mean, he's going to have to get Kiffin'd.
Right.
He's going to have to get left on a tarmac somewhere. Because, I mean, I saw bits and pieces of this during the JMU game. It was on another TV at the establishment I was at. And it's just like, you look over every 5 minutes like, what? It happened again? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was just never – that was never a game. And Georgia's good. Like, don't get me wrong, they're a really good team. There's no shame in losing to Georgia, even at home. But 41-0, it was like, what was the last shutout for Tennessee? It was like 94, I think they said. It was like 280 games they hadn't been shut out.
So Butch got his name in the record.
So, yeah, there you go. Chisel him in the media guide.
In history.
And I've seen some early rumblings. Like, you know, their best – one of a couple of their best recruits have reopened their recruitment this week. And – it's the kind of usual like sinking ship situation at Tennessee. So, you know, kind of interested to see where that goes, because I think Tennessee is a great, potentially a great job. They're in a really advantageous location too, for recruiting and such. But
do you think they'd hire T. Martin?
Yeah.
Or is he too new to the coaching?
I mean, he hasn't been a coach yet, so that would be interesting. But he would definitely keep the recruiting up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Butch hasn't struggled recruiting. That's the thing. I mean, he just like can't coach. It appears he can't manage a game. You know, he has only beat Florida once, you know, which is a big deal for Tennessee fans. You know, there's just like stuff like that that is going against.
He beat Florida and Georgia and didn't win the East.
Yeah. So the one year that he did the two things that the fans demanded from him, he lost to Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So it's not good. So I don't think he makes it out of this season alive. So yeah, Philip Fulmer is your new Tennessee football coach.
Shout out to Reese Davis also for absolutely just power dunking on Butch during game day. Did you guys see that?
I didn't.
So like Butch had a weird like moment with the media at
oh yeah, he like decoded games. Everything that he was saying. Yeah.
And he's all right, stop the tape, and I'm gonna make you look like a fool for what you just said. And okay, roll it. Okay, stop the tape again. We're gonna bury it on this for a little bit. But Reese always bringing the firepower on Saturday mornings.
Love it.
Friend of the podcast.
A little edge. Good friend of the podcast, Reese Davis.
David Whitehouse stuff.
Right, so, but yeah, Georgia looks really good. Their defense looks awesome. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. I mean, you have no idea, I guess, what to make of any of these teams against Alabama in a potential matchup against Alabama. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia lost, you know, two games down the stretch. Who knows? But at the same time, they look really confident, and they're using the running backs well. They don't need their quarterback to win the games for them so far, which I think helps out. They're playing a true freshman at quarterback. I don't know if Eason's going to play when he gets back. I think he's healthy, so that could be a weird thing for Georgia. But I will say Kirby seems to have that kind of mini Alabama vibe going that he wants to have, at least against the teams he's played so far.
Steps in the right direction for the governor.
That's right. All right, Jordan, bring us up to date. How we do on picks?
We all won money this week.
Here we go.
A real
man, fake. I was worried at the beginning of the Washington State game.
Yeah, so Logan, you and I both went 3-2, and Jason went 4-1.
Boy, Krecky.
So
thanks.
I can pull up records real quick. Jason, I think, what did you say? You were 20-10.
Yep.
Right now.
Wow.
20-10. Logan, you're 18-12, which is nothing to sneeze at either.
Yeah.
I'm 15-15, which, depending, as we've talked about, on unit allocation I could still be in the black.
Right. That's good.
So yeah, good week for the podcast overall.
Good. We're really getting sighted in. I think the muscle memory's taking over. We're starting to get a feel
conference
for these teams.
Conference play is usually kind of the time we feel somewhat good about the read we've got on a lot of these teams. So
absolutely. So Miami Duke was the first game. I watched a fair chunk of this. Was kind of a boring game to watch, though. Miami sort of just pulled away. Thoughts, takeaways? Miami's got Florida State this week, so.
Yeah, it was good to see.
Florida State has Miami this week.
I think it's
depending on how you want
to
put it.
If you're a Miami fan, it was good to see one them come out and not really miss a beat after missing all the time for hurricane stuff, and also, like, probably a lot of Miami fans could have been justified in being concerned that they might overlook Duke because of the Florida State game coming up this weekend. So kudos to Coach Richt for having his guys dialed in and executing well. The turnover chain was all over the place. I think three separate guys got to wear it around the neck at some point. Yeah, Miami.
A lot of excessive celebration penalties on Miami, which, you know, that means things are
they're
going back. Well.
That means they're getting dialed in.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm really excited for the Florida State game the next weekend. I think that's going to
be a
fascinating matchup.
Is very good, and that linebacking crew is sick. Like, all of their starters are sophomores, and they started as true freshmen last year, and they were very adequate. And now they're a year
they're wiser and
better and stronger and faster. And yeah, it's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they still lack a little bit at quarterback. I don't know if that's the biggest deal with the way that they like to play. But I think that Rick does a really good job. I've mentioned, I think he does a really good job working with his quarterbacks and putting them in good positions to, you know, succeed and not have to make big plays. But I think Walton, the running back, he's really good, but he's a little bit banged up.
Yeah, he got hurt there at the end of the game. It was right after Bud tweeted, like, well, are you sure you want to keep Mark Walton in the game with the score the way it is? And like, oh, there goes the ankle. Like, oh, yeah. Gosh, Bud, you sick
Bud,
son of
Bud
a
was on his Bud was on his BS this weekend. It was good stuff. The misspelling of Blacksburg while taking, like, an unnecessary shot at Blacksburg was so funny.
I might frame that and put it
you
in my cube.
You guys loved that.
It was a very bored tweet.
He's on board.
He's so childish.
He
just starts just lashing out on via Twitter, like, for no reason.
It was just
like, man, this guy.
Which fan base is mentally weakest at this exact moment?
Right.
It's forever and always Florida State until Ohio State.
He had that one saved in drafts for about 3 weeks. Oh, yeah. And he's like, if they get game day, I'm hitting send on this bad
boy. I bet he had it written for the West Virginia game, and they came back and beat West Virginia. So he's like, I'll save it. I'll keep it in the bank.
We're just going to let this go low and slow for a couple more weeks.
He couldn't
smoke this thing nicely, let it get real tender, and then just plop it on the
paper. He couldn't unleash that while they were at FedEx Field. He had to really wait till, like, a home game. Right.
You are vastly underestimating his talents, my friend.
This is true.
So shout out to Bud, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, shout out to Bud. We'd love to have you on.
Beloved member of the...
our guy.
Favorite marine biology fan.
We'll move on to the next game, which was also Friday night, probably one of the games of the weekend. USC at Washington State. Guys, we called it. We had this game circled on our
all
our,
of us
our little...
called it, didn't we?
Did we?
No. No. I was trying to say face.
This wasn't a unanimous
I'm
pick.
I'm too honest.
This was the long range call. We called this at, like, the beginning of the year.
That's what I'm saying.
I called this
at
the beginning. I'll take credit for that at the beginning of the year.
This was just a long hedge, is all this was. You called it like 4 weeks ago.
Right. And then, I had a big payoff coming, but I was also going to try and make some of that margin.
Try to
up.
Make that investment back.
Right.
So, Washington State, USC, back and forth. Pretty good game. I regrettably did not make it to the very end of this game, which is a shame, but I did catch the end. I guess Washington State won.
Yeah.
So
and we got a classic Mike Leach post game interview.
And mid game. Did you see him at the halftime?
Yeah.
They're like, Coach, it appears USC is a really good second half team. What are you guys gonna do to combat that? And he's like, so are we. And just walked off.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Like, legend.
Poor Allison Williams or whoever it was just standing there holding the mic like, oh, God, my life.
This job.
But, pretty much perfect Pac-12 after dark. Did Darnold throw some more picks?
He did.
Yeah, I did. Let's find out how many.
He throws lots of picks.
At least one.
At least two, yeah.
That I remember. One thing I did want to make sure I said when we talked about this game is I love the way Washington State uses their running back in their offense in the passing game.
Uh-huh.
Like, just kind of keep him in as, like, I'm blocking, no, I'm not, and slide him out to the right. Like, they don't throw a ton of deep balls in that offense, but nobody picks up the running back out of the backfield as a check down. And so you got, like, a swing pass every 2 out of 3 plays that you can hit and let the guy go for 7 or 8 yards. And
it's just an extension of the running game.
Right.
It's basically an extension of the
running
game.
Similar to what the Hoos are learning and growing into.
Exactly. Very similar. So
yeah, but if you were a USC fan, it had to be maddening. Like, he's throwing it to the running back again.
There he is.
The running back is wide open again. Like,
yeah.
It's beautiful, though.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what gives on that. Like, if USC just, like, for some reason stays in a base defense and just loses track of the running back. I mean, I think you got to play a lot of nickel at least against Washington State. So I don't know, but Washington State they look very good. They look adequate on defense, and you know they can score points, and they have a coach that's very vindictive and likes to, you know, be weird and get after it. So
that Apple Cup is going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Really excited. So, you know, barring like a weird game, they got to play Oregon too. So Oregon looks like they're, you know, probably for real, at least pretty good. And all of a sudden the Pac-12 North has, you know, three legitimate, I think, contenders in it for not necessarily like a playoff spot, you could say, but for high-powered upsets and such. Yeah, absolutely.
You could probably make the case that that's the best division in football.
Sure, with Stanford, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the...
Colorado?
I mean, it's not the SEC.
The deepest.
It's not anything in the SEC. It's probably not anything in the ACC this year with... I mean, you pretty much have one really good team on both sides of the ACC, and that's it.
Yep. Clemson and Miami.
Yeah, Florida State and... And it's true.
That was so fast. Well done.
Yeah. Well, because I knew who you were talking about. It's obvious to everybody, Jason.
I can read Sam Darnold's line from this. It's,
please.
It's not great. It's 15 of 29 for 164 yards. He did not complete a touchdown pass, and he threw one pass to the other team.
That's the Felipe Franks special right there.
That is a Florida quarterback's line if I've ever seen one.
Barely 50%
great,
and no
great
yards.
Great run-pass balance, though. 29 rushes, 29
That's
passes. That...
For they ran 58 total plays? That's it?
Yeah. That's not good. Scored 27 points. That's crazy. Hold on a second.
Yeah, their points per play is way up there. Wow.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I mean, efficiency. 58 plays. I guess, does that count?
Got,
like,
so Ronald Jones stuff? Got loose for that 86-yard. I forgot about that. He's still pretty good. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sam Darnold did run.
Yeah.
He ran a touchdown in the game-tying touchdown with 5 minutes left.
Big issue with this game for USC was injuries. Like, they lost a ton of guys. Their O-line lost both of their starting tackles, I think, before halftime, and they may have lost a guard at some point as well. But at the same time, you got to think, like, SC's recruiting well enough that they should be able to have
it
offensive linemen who can step
much.
In and not miss a huge amount of rhythm, so...
Right. Yeah, you would expect that. I don't know. Doesn't Washington State have a defensive tackle named Hercules?
Yes.
So,
son of Zeus, as they like to remind us.
Okay, that guy's a stud. And that was fun. So yeah, I'm fully on board Washington State. Like, let's go. If they made the playoff, I think that would be so awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, if they got Bama in the first round of the playoff.
Washington State, Bama. Oh, and, you know, Bama would win like 700-0 and just make us so sad.
Mike Leach could beat them and not be excited at all. He would give the same post game interview.
Nick Saban.
Well, I'm very proud of our players, but to be honest, you know, we're not surprised.
I didn't think Alabama was that good. Right. I'm not surprised.
I mean, I watched the same film you guys do. Y'all had
right.
to see
they
it.
Got
right?
some, they got some talented boys, but, you know, we're just going to give it, you know.
I want to know what Mike Leach's approach is with his play sheet that he walks around with, because it's so small, and he writes on
it. It's a beautiful
thing. Like, they'll run a play, and he'll, like, be just, like, thinking to himself, and he'll scratch something out or write on it, and go, like, I wonder if they just only have, like, 7 different plays, and he just is like, okay.
He's like, all right, next time I'm going to flip it, like, you hit, like, the black button in NCAA football. And...
yeah. Square, triangle, right. Flip the play, at the line, hot routes. So... Go Washington State. I'm fully on board for the rest of the year. See, Jason, look. I'm being excited about something. Washington State,
yeah,
I'm here.
Properly
I'm
rated.
Proud of you. Look at that.
That was properly rated with Logan Whitehouse.
There's a size
feel like you've taken a, feel like you've taken a real step in life.
Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of things I love and hate, Florida State, Wake Forest. This game was pretty ugly. I think required a pretty late touchdown by Florida State. Did they win by 8?
7.
No, Florida State won by 7.
Oh,
so Wake,
okay. So they
so
did.
Wake covered.
So
Wake covered.
Okay. Wake covered. Gotcha.
Yeah, but the Noles are in the win column. So good job, Jimbo. You finally did it.
Yeah, they finally did it. I think they're beginning to realize. I didn't really watch much of this, but the general vibe that I get is they're beginning to realize the limitations they have at quarterback, just with a true freshman. And I don't know. Their defense is fine. But it's, I think the steam has sort of come off their defense a little bit since everybody was so excited about that Alabama game in week 1.
Yeah.
And trying to do that, like, spin cycle thing that they do. So, yeah, not much to say about Florida State. They'll be fine. Really, like I mentioned, really interested in the Miami game this weekend. I saw a little tease, preview line tease here, Jordan, but the line opened at Florida State -1 and has been bet all the way up to Miami -3.5.
Yeah.
Already.
Oh. Absolutely.
Already. So, I guess my initial thoughts on that game were it could be, I think it's going to be close. It's kind of like, I think the Florida LSU game will be similar. It's like, based on the resume so far, I think it's pretty clear that Florida should be able to win. I think it's pretty clear that Miami should be able to win, but.
You throw the records out of the window when these teams meet.
Right. Right. And I, you know, it's not like Florida State isn't a super talented team compared to Miami. It's not like all these kids don't know each other. So I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I will, like, I watched some of the first half of this game before I went to the wedding. Shout out to the happy couple, Michael and Megan Atkinson.
The Atkinsonians.
It was tied 3-3 when I left late in the first half, and I was glad. Like, okay, I don't have to watch this anymore. But, like, opening kickoff, Derwin James just takes it 100 yards for a touchdown and gets called back for a block in the back. That's when I knew I wasn't covering with the Noles.
Right.
That's when I knew it was a Demon Deacon situation.
Glad Derwin James found his wheels.
Right.
He lost them last week.
He did.
So, yeah, any other thoughts on the Noles or the Clough end?
I didn't see any of this game.
Good. I don't think you missed that.
No, I'm not bummed about it.
I think this is the typical, like, Wake's fine. They're in the wrong side of the conference. Like, if they were playing in the Coastal, they'd have a lot more to be excited about. But you guys have to play Clemson and Florida State and Louisville every year.
Are they like, actually making strides forward?
I
haven't paid much attention to
Wake.
Them.
Yeah, I think so. They were
undefeated coming into this week.
Undefeated or 3-1 or something like that coming into the game. So, yeah, I think they were. People would say maybe a little bit ahead of schedule.
Yeah. So
if there is a schedule for Wake Forest to be on, I mean, whatever that means, but I think that basically means they were surprising some people by winning some games, and now they'll be 4-3 after they played the three good teams in the ACC.
Yeah.
But, all right, Memphis at UCF. We talked about this one for a while.
The Wheel Rock Consensus.
Sorry.
Once Wheel Rock
Consensus
stays
again.
Undefeated.
The consensus is getting stronger, too. UCF whooped Memphis, if I recall correctly.
40-13.
Yeah, let's take a look at
it. That's a Scott Frost classic, boys and girls. That's what we call that.
Yeah.
Friend of the program, Scott Frost. Future Nebraska, maybe, coach.
So somehow Memphis had 25 first downs and UCF had 27 and they lost 40-13.
Well, if you just keep running after you hit the first down marker, you have less opportunities.
Three interceptions thrown by Memphis. There's your ball game, boys. There's your ball game.
I mean, also the 7 yards a carry that UCF averaged, but also,
picks. That helps, but I think three interceptions.
Gosh, that rushing tally, 49 carries for 350 yards.
That is sexy.
Wow.
Four different players had at least one run over 25
yards.
For
UCF.
That's like
Paul, UCF
Paul
had
Johnson.
109.
Ooh, he gets the vapors when he sees those numbers.
Right. UCF had 109 yards of penalties too. A true Florida team, if I've ever seen one. That's good. That's the good stuff. So, UCF appears to be very for real. So, we got some interesting football in the state of Florida right now, in which South Florida and UCF might literally be the two best teams in the state. UCF seems to be really good. They're not ranked as of yet, but UCF, to be fair, did miss out on a game with Georgia Tech, which would have given them some exposure and shine, and maybe been a good test of if they could beat a weird and.
Yeah. Well, and FAU's won a game or two, I think, since they stopped collecting checks. So
that's right. That's right. Hot blondes for Lane.
Woo!
So, yeah. Good stuff.
So tune in Thursday for the Wheel Route Consensus that is sure to remain undefeated.
Right.
This is not an investment opportunity. This is just for entertainment purposes.
So we're 5-0 now? Are we 6-0?
Five.
Did we pick that first
week? I think we're five.
No.
Oh, no, we didn't pick that.
We didn't pick the first week.
We just got to get that that Florida LSU consensus. I know it's going to be strong.
See, if we were real smart, we would just pick every game all the same so that we could go 5-0 every week.
Yeah.
Because
the whole
causation
show could just
and
be
correlation
us like
are
lobbying.
Definitely.
I think at this point we can extrapolate that.
We need bigger samples. Yes.
Come and get me when N is greater than 30, bros. Then we can talk. Am I right or am I right? All right, Clemson at Virginia Tech, nightcap. Again, I was at the I was doing my thing out in Tuscaloosa, so missed out on most of this. But appeared to me that Clemson, like Virginia Tech, looked a little bit sloppy, and I think Clemson took advantage and pretty much just beat them. I don't know. It didn't appear to be that handy of a whooping or anything like that, but. Yeah, I don't think you're going to beat a team like Clemson if you turn the ball over and play as sloppy as Virginia Tech allegedly played. I don't know. I didn't watch it, so don't at me.
Did you watch it?
You can at Jordan.
So I was driving home from the wedding during the end of the third quarter, and I was listening to the Hokie slanted broadcast of the game.
And, you must be referring to literally the Hokies home broadcast.
And, oh my stars, was that broadcast something else? Like
John Laser. He's
the,
awesome.
The commentary had turned to, like, I think Evans, Evans.
Who, no, not Evans.
Not Evans. Yeah. Jackson, Jackson had thrown his.
Justin?
His,
Jermaine.
Josh.
Josh.
Josh Jackson. Had thrown his ultimate interception, I think. It was the second or third. And that's when that was kind of the nail in the coffin moment.
Was it the pick six?
No, I think he might have thrown one more after that. But the tone had changed from like, oh, this is game again. Because Tech scored right at the beginning of the fourth quarter and made it a two-score game, I think. So, it might have been the pick six. The conversation went from like, well, if we get a stop here, you know, we're right back in it, move the ball again, to like, you know, well, you get this caliber of team coming in, you can't do these things, but at the same time, like, you take away the mistakes, those are fixable errors, like, two turnovers, 14 points off. They were trying to talk themselves into, yes, we are better than Clemson, the score just doesn't reflect that, and I had a time laughing at that in the car.
That's like the New York Jets fans right now that are, like, convincing themselves they're in the mix because they're 2-2. It's like, okay, all right, you need to just cool it out.
I think we were listening to the exact same part on the radio because I was listening to the radio like I was literally like driving home from downtown.
Not to brag.
I remember like because it was they had scored to make a two-score game and then it gotten I think a 3-and-out or something and then it was like stadium's like the fans are back in and it's an interception and he'll walk into the end zone. Like it just got so quiet so fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
A valiant effort by.
So, were you listening? Did you hear when they like went to the sideline correspondent for Josh Jackson's body language breakdown? They're like, you know.
But I also know that sideline correspondent.
So how did Josh handle that interception? You know, what was the general feeling down on the sideline? You know, I have never seen Josh, you know, act despondent or down on the sideline to this point this year. And he came over and he flipped his helmet and he just put his head in his hands and was running his hands through his hair like this was some sort of like, you know, weird novel start and it got weird fast, but it was like they were finding the most ridiculous things to go in depth about.
Have you ever listened to the Virginia radio broadcast?
No, because I watch on TV.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna say two things here. One is that every single radio broadcast is like this from every school.
Well, yeah.
And two, I respect your dedication to adding a hillbilly accent to every person associated with Virginia Tech athletics. The Virginia Tech sideline correspondent went to Syracuse. He's from New York. Yeah. So respect
that Blacksburg.
For just assuming he's from Salem or something.
Well, he bleeds maroon and orange now, Jason.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, the game happened. It was a really good game.
Clemson's really good.
In parts, Clemson's super good. Yeah. Like Virginia Tech would have had to play perfect to give themselves a shot, and they didn't. And that's the whole game right there. Clemson is a monstrous team right now, which is nuts because everybody thought they'd take a down year.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they look so good. They
that defensive
Alabama,
line is
just like they look so much better than everyone, and they're just overwhelming. And they all look like they both look like they have NFL defensive fronts, and that's like. That can win the game.
That Clemson D-line is I mean, they were – the pocket was collapsing before the drop back finished every play. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It's going to be – they are very good. They start – they're not super deep. They don't run, like, eight guys across that line. So it's going to be interesting when they play maybe a team that like able to maybe take advantage of that a little bit. But, I mean, shoot, it hasn't been an issue yet. I kind of doubt it's going to be an issue on their schedule moving forward. So –
so they play the Hoos in the ACC title game, Paul.
Kurt Banker really stretching them out.
Right. Really putting the clamps on them.
Yeah. So, and then I saw ESPN made a big show about moving Clemson into number one in their power rankings. I don't know. I thought that was kind of like maybe just like looking for some headline shine. I don't really know how you move Bama out after what they've done the last 2 weeks. I mean, Clemson, I guess, has more impressive wins on names. But
what was it? Yeah, like Clemson is the first.
It's not like Alabama
three top 15 wins.
Clemson's the first team in the AP era to win three top 15 games. I mean, you're right in that. I mean, it's not like
Bama's, it was just funny. They made such a big show of it too. Well, like we got a new number one.
Breaking news. Okay, it sounds like Alabama won their game 66-3, and sorry,
it sounds like the ESPN it's over. We love.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. I did catch the like post game interview with Dabo, bless his heart, at the at my abode on the TV, and they asked him about that. You know, oh, did you guys know you're the first team to go 3-0, win three games against top 15 opponent in the month of September? And he just, well, golly shucks, man. Like, you know, how, and he actually handled it well. He was like, well, you know, really, how many teams have played three top 15 teams in September? You know, so, well, gosh, you know, darn it, man. We're just so happy for these kids. And
we are just tickled absolutely pink, and we look forward to being number one. So then I watched Saturday Night Live,
which was a lot better than Dabo. Right. So,
What? You know, same
There's
vibe.
There's just a lot of bitterness in this game for Jordan Shank right now. Just
My parents asked me who I was rooting for, and I almost convulsed.
What outcome would have made you happy here?
A sinkhole? No, I would have been
which
fine
wouldn't
with
have been, wouldn't have been, possible, a, wouldn't have been a surprise in that karst topography in Blacksburg.
No, those engineers
right?
allegedly know better than to build on fault lines. No, I mean, I was fine
it's
with the way
the fault lines. It's about the limestone pockets.
It hung out. That's the one time I'll root for Clemson in a year. And thank you, Clemson, for doing what you did, I guess.
I have a question. Do you guys always, like, have to be rooting for someone when you watch games?
Absolutely not.
No. No, like, Pac-12 after dark, if I'm not, if I don't have a side of the spread, you root for chaos.
Yep. You root for the team that's losing to come back, or the team that's winning to just explode.
Like, I always just want to see, like, awesome. Like, I feel like I have an NCAA basketball tournament mentality about, like, 100% of the games I watch, except for, like, the Florida and UVA games.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'll just do some, like, very anti-rooting for maybe, say, a Florida State or a Virginia Tech. But usually, even then, it's like I kind of just like watching, and it's, I don't know. But I feel like there are a lot of times people are like, so who are you rooting for? Like, they want to strike up that conversation. Right. It's like, well, I don't want to have this conversation.
And I'm taking it a step further to like the Miami Duke game. I knew like, okay, UVA has Duke after this game, so I'm pulling for Miami to like really beat the brakes off of Duke, so that they're, you know, we've got a wounded Duke team coming
Duke
to Charlottesville. Like, my rooting interests have kind of a
are always self-serving. Right. I got it. That makes sense. Gotcha. Okay, cool guys. Well, this has been fun. Good recap. This was week 5.
Yeah,
something like that. So we'll be hitting up a preview episode for next week. Should have an interesting slate of games. Miami
conference
plays
in full swing at this point.
Florida LSU, full swing. I'm sure Georgia plays someone interesting. So we'll be fun. Thanks for joining us on the podcast at the Wheel Route on Twitter, wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. Download us from your favorite podcast acquisition service. Follow us on Instagram too, Wheel Route Podcast. And as always, go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.